Let's return to Genesis, and let's return to the theme that we've been pursuing over the last few weeks, a vision of Eden, both looking at the way God initially set up the world for man, and also looking forward to the new creation in our thinking about this topic. And today I want to think about the image of God. We've seen how God created man from the dust. Man belongs to the dust. The dust is man's home. The earth is man's home. God gave him this privilege of ruling in his place on the earth, ruling. And that involves work. We saw that God has set up a rhythm of work and a rhythm of rest in the week. And we also saw how God has commanded man to fill the earth. We thought about population last week. Well, we're going to think now today about the way that man is made in a certain way, in a way that no other creature is made. Verse 26 of Genesis 1 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So what do you look like this morning? What do you look like? Some, it seems, would say handsome this morning. But what do you look like? If I were to ask that question, you might scratch your head for a wee while. I don't know how long it would be before someone would actually say, well, actually, I look like God. And yet the Bible is telling us right at the very beginning that we are made in the image of God. We are made as the likeness of God. Now, I think and I hope it's clear to us that that does not mean that God looks physically like us. That the identity of God is in some way analogous to us. We bear an image of God in some way, but it's not physical. So I've got a coin here. You won't be able to see from this distance, but on this coin is a picture of the head of Queen Elizabeth II. And if I were to just point at this image and say, who is that? You would say, it's the Queen. And of course, you don't mean it's literally the Queen, but you do mean it's her image. It's recognisably her and not anyone else. What this is saying is that there's something about us, or maybe many things about us as people, that we can look at and say, well, this is like God. We are the image, we are the likeness of God. That doesn't mean we are God. It doesn't mean physically we look like God. We're not identical with God. But it means that when we look at one another, there should be something about one another that we can recognize as being godlike. That we can tell things about God by looking at one another and at ourselves in the mirror. That we have this responsibility, and it's set right at the very, very beginning of the creation of man, to be godlike. Because we're made in the image and the likeness of God. That's a thought, isn't it? What does that mean? How are we like God? Well, I've got five things just to go through, first of all. And really, they all come in a sense even out of the first words of verse 26. Then God said, let us make. We are personal. That means the image of God is saying that God is personal. We are personal too. It says, then God said. God is someone who speaks. God is someone who acts. God is a person. He's not an object. Neither are we. You're not a rock. You're not a plant. You're a person. God is a person. And our personhood is a reflection of that. It is part of our image. Part of the image of God that we bear. We are personal. That is in itself an immense privilege and sets us apart from just about everything else that there is in the entire creation. Human beings and angels are personal. God is personal. He's made us personal. The second thing is, God is plural. Let us make man, he says. And you wonder, why is that us there? Well, whoever's doing the making says us are going to make. And we think that probably is the first indication in the Bible that although God is one God, that there is some complexity in that. That there's more than one person. And that's maybe the first hint then of what we call the Trinity. God is Father and is Son and Holy Spirit. God is plural. He's one, but he's plural as well. In his unity, he is a God of three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God made man in his image. We too are plural. There's more than one human being on the earth. We were to increase in number, as we thought about last time. We're made with this diversity that some are male and some are female. Notice in verse 27, male and female were made in God's image. We bear that image and we take it with us. And you can trace this theme of image right through the Bible. We could do that if we have time, but it's not good, as verse 18 of chapter 2 says, for a man to be alone, for a person to be alone. We're plural. And our children inherit, and right from the beginning, the children inherit, Genesis 5 verse 3, the children of Adam inherit the image of God. It carries on down through generations. So God is plural. He's one God, but he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's a plurality in us too. We bear something of the plurality of God's image too. Personal, plural. The third thing is relational. Let us, God says. Let's do it together. We're relational. The ability to act together means that there must be a relationship between the persons of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in a perfect relationship. We learn as Scripture discloses something of their relationship. A perfect, harmonious relationship. And they share with each other in that relationship. They disclose themselves to one another with perfect candidness and clarity and honesty and truth constantly. They know as they are known. And made in God's image, we're relational too. Made in God's image, we're meant to share our hearts with others. No man is an island. We're not an island from one another, and we're not an island from God. And it's a poor person that is a closed book. It's an emotionally impoverished human being who is a closed book, who can't open up and share their hearts with other people and respectfully receive other people's sharing of their hearts with them. We're made for relationship. And we're made for relationship on a human level, but we're also made for relationship with God. Not just two-dimensional, kind of on the level, but we're also made to remember the third dimension, a relationship with God. We are made to have relationships all around with man and with God. And we forget this. We forget especially our relationship with God, then the future holds the tragic words of Jesus, I never knew you. And that's why we must not forget that God's image includes the fact that we're relational and that in a relationship we should seek him as well as other people. The fourth thing is we're communal. We're communal. Again, let us, God says, let us make man, let us. The ability to have a relationship and then to act together and make things happen together. And for man is in his relationship with God, his relationship with one another, rather, this communal relationship, we act together. We're given the command, for example, to fill the earth and to subdue it. Well, you can't do that on your own. You've got to do it with other people. You've got to do it in a communal relationship. And together we can achieve far more than the sum of our individual parts. And so we seek to work together with other people. When I was preparing this, I was looking at a website and there was one of these advertisements and you just don't want to see, but it was a really nice watch. And I thought, I've been looking for a nice watch for a while because I just got a sort of Mickey Mouse watch that I bought because my good one had broken and I promised myself a decent watch about 2 years ago and Mickey Mouse is still telling me the time. So I thought, oh, that's a really nice watch. So I clicked on the advert, which is something I almost never do. And it took me a website and it turned out the watch was worth £2,900. So I'm not going to be getting that watch. But it was a really nice watch. And then I began to think, well, just because I was at this point about communal, just how many people it took to make that watch. In fact, it took the whole history of mankind, if you think about it, just to make that one watch. It's a huge communal effort just to make something as small as a watch. With all its intricacy, there's a lot to it. Together, we can make splendid things that we could never make on our own. No individual could make that watch. But together, as people in God's image, we're communal, we're meant to do things together. Fill the earth and subdue it, as God says. That brings me to the final point of man's image, God's image in man, and that's that we're regnal. That we are king-like. Let us make man, God says. There's something else. There's the sovereignty of God over creation, that he can just make man. He can just decide he's going to do it. If he wants to do it, he can do it. And he can do it from nothing. If he wants to, or he can do it from the dust. He can bring order from chaos. He can bring life from death. He can bring light from darkness. God can do it. He's king. Absolute sovereign. And if he wants to make man, he'll make man. And then if he wants to delegate some of his rule, his sovereignty to man, he can do that as well. And that's what he does. Let us make man, he says. And then let man subdue the earth. Let them rule, he says. And so we're supposed to rule. We thought about that. We devoted a whole message to that a few weeks ago. And we're really not doing it very well. We're disastrously ruling the planet at the moment. We are just ruling it so badly. But we're meant to make it a garden, not a desert. Like Adam was meant to work the garden, and man, as he spread from the garden, was meant to continue to extend the garden. And that's part of our rule, our privilege, under God, as made in his image. So, we are personal, we are plural, we are relational, we are communal, and we are regnal. And because of that privilege we have from God, we can also do things as God does. We can act in sovereign ways, we can imagine, we can invent, we can design. Working together, cooperating, we can create things. We can do marvellous things as God's vice regents. That's the vision of mankind made in the image of God. C.S. Lewis said at the time that Elizabeth II was being crowned in 1953, the pressing of that huge, heavy crown on that small, young head was a symbol of the situation of all men. You think about that. The pressing of that huge, heavy crown on that small, young head was a symbol of the situation of all men. God has crowned man. God has crowned us with dignity and with honour by making us in his image. It's a privilege, it's an investiture that is beyond our wildest understanding and imagination. He has given us a rule under him and for him, because we're made in his image. And we should seek to carry out that privilege in our lives. Now let's say a few more things here. It's in our physical bodies that we bear this image. Notice that. It's the physical, material man and woman living on the earth who bear God's image. God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. So it's the physical person that bears the image. Okay, that's important. It's not like some ghost or something. It's like it's us now. Physically, people, we bear God's image. Notice as well, as you go through the Bible, the image of God doesn't get destroyed in Genesis 3 by the fall of man and his sin. It stays. The image remains. So verse 6 of chapter 9 of Genesis, for example, where God is speaking about the evil of murder, he says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God created man." So man is made in the image of God, and he remains in the image of God, even though sin has entered the world. So you and I bear God's image, we bear God's likeness right now. Now I know that you don't think that means that you're God. Some people do though. Satan has got a good line in kind of duping certain people into thinking that they are gods. Many Eastern religions, for example, teach that. New Age thinking teaches that. And that's what we see right back at Genesis 3. Satan comes along to Eve and he says, "If you eat that, you'll be like God. Eat that, you'll be like God." And that's always been the temptation of mankind, that instead of being image bearers, we want to cast away God's image and become gods ourselves. And God has written into humanity a little thing to remove our illusions about that. It's called death. Gods don't die. We're not gods. We've got God's image and likeness. We bear a strong resemblance, but no more than that. However, because we bear God's image, any attack on humanity is an attack on God. And our society is attacking God right, left and centre just now by attacking humanity. We saw a few weeks ago the joy of many people in Southern Ireland because they got the right to abort unborn children. Or it's not, they got the right to make that law in the future. It's not yet law, but the joy, it was a tragedy to see young women rejoicing that they now had the right, or they were about to get the right, to kill unborn children in their wombs. What kind of world is that? And now the pressure's on in Northern Ireland for the same thing. That's an attack on God, because it's an attack on humanity, the image bearer of God. Why do we do that? Why do we think it's a good thing to be able to dispose of unborn humanity? Well, because we're rebelling against God. We're rebelling against the image of God. The gender confusion in our society today is another instance of this. We're messing with gender in all kinds of imaginative, innovative and exotic ways. And we hear so much about homophobia, but actually the real problem in our society is heterophobia. That is, that people are actually against the way God made things. The way God made marriage between a man and a woman. The way we're against loving what God made. Just that he made us to be male and female. And he made us to glory in our gender. And to marry those of the opposite gender. It's an attack on the image of God. That's what it is. It's not because man's been clever. It's because man is turning against God. And what he's doing is he's trying to obliterate the image of God. Any attack on the human body is an attack on the image of God. All the crimes against the person are attack on God. It's an expression of man's rebellion against God. Abuse, rape, self-harm, knife crime, racism, bullying, the multitude of ways in which we can trash other people on social media, these are all attacks against the image of God. We are anti-man, and because we're anti-God. And God have mercy on us. Maybe we haven't thought about it in that way before. You know, there's so much that's really wrong in our society, but actually look at it, and so much of it is actually an attack on humanity. It's man being anti-man because we're made in the image of God. It's really man being anti-God. That's what it's really about. When people don't love their humanity, when they don't love the way that they've been made as individual people, when they don't love the beautiful arrangement that God made for man to live in families, with a man and a woman married as the head of the home, with children who are safe in the womb and safe in the family, and who grow up with a dignified sense of themselves so that they don't try to undermine themselves by getting involved in things that are damaging and harmful for them. Why don't we love that? Why shouldn't we love that? Well, if we love the image of God, then we'll love the way God made us. But our society's lost that. There is hope. To restore our respect for his image, God sent a man. What a man. He sent a man. He sent a man to really show us what humanity can be. What manhood can be. A man who is perfect in his humanity, perfect in his person, perfect in his relationships, perfect in his exercise of his God-given rule and authority. And we killed him. We killed him. Again, that was an attack on God. An attack on the image of God. But God raised him. God raised him to life. God raised him to life and made him in his resurrection the beginning of a new creation. If we're to have any future then as individuals, as human beings, we have to receive this man whom God sent, because he's the future. We've got to receive him and submit to his rule. We have to start loving God's beautiful image most purely and clearly and nobly expressed in Jesus Christ. Because in the new creation that's coming, there isn't any place for rejecting or for distorting the image of God. There's no place for the dishonor of the physical person. It's a place where God's image and God's likeness come into their own in Jesus Christ, where we can be fully personal and plural and relational and communal and regnal, where we can relate perfectly to one another and to the God in whose image we're made in glorious partnership forever. In Jesus, Christians are looking forward to a new age on the earth where we will honour physical man. We will honour physical man because we honour God who made us in his image and his likeness. So let's look at ourselves differently. Let's look at ourselves and at one another differently from this moment on. Because we're looking at the very image of God. The image of God which will last forever. And let's seek and strive to be in this community the best place where the people around us can look if they want to see God. That they'll be able to look at us and see the image of God being lived out in personal and in plural and in relational and communal and regnal ways. They'll be able to look at us and see something of the perfection of that image that's found in Jesus in us. And they'll like it and they'll love it. And they'll want it for themselves to have those kinds of relationships. The relationships we have with one another, as Jesus said, love one another. And the relationships we have with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are made in the image of God. Let's love that image. And let's glory in that image in our relationships. That the community may be drawn to that one glorious image bearer, God's Son, Jesus Christ. As we read, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. They may be drawn to him. And in him, receive back their dignity and their humanity. Amen.